Okay. Well, it's been a couple weeks since I've been able to preach on a Sunday night, so I'm thankful for the opportunity, especially with not preaching this morning. So I am chomping at the bits, ready to go. We're going to try to tackle two chapters tonight, okay? Genesis chapter 27 and Genesis chapter 28. Please turn there tonight. Genesis 27 and Genesis 28. What we're going to be looking at tonight is some of Jacob's life and the narrative unfolding there for us in this wonderful, wonderful book of beginnings. So remember that God has made covenant promises. He's the God of Abraham, He's the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Okay? So what we see tonight is going to be God of Abraham, God of Isaac, Isaac, the father of Jacob and Esau, and how the birthright and how the blessing and how these promises will continue. And it's a very, very intriguing, fascinating story how all this unfolds. So we're going to call this God's mercy to a deceiver. God's mercy to a deceiver. Let's pray. And then we've got some intro work to do before we jump into 27 and 28. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And it is our great privilege to hallow your name tonight. As Almighty Father, as King of Kings, as Sovereign Lord, we bow before you in the name of Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior, boasting in Him and not ourselves, for we have no work to bring on our own. We have no righteousness to bring on our own, but we solely, only, completely look to the work and righteousness of Jesus, your Son, and His work in our place as our only hope tonight. We are a people desperate of mercy, or we have nothing. Drive that deep tonight, deep in our hearts, that we would understand that we are just like Jacob. We are sinners and cheaters and deceivers, and we also are debtors to mercy. My prayer is that those in darkness and doubt tonight would behold the light of the gospel and the glorious mercy of God through Jesus Christ. My prayer is for families tonight where there are fractured relationships, that be healed and mended. That we learn tonight not to manipulate and deceive and cheat, but to trust in your sovereign mercy, to believe your promises, to follow you in the means of grace which you have ordained and prescribed as good. So strengthen me as your servant. Strengthen me as an earthen vessel. Fill me afresh for your good use, that my brothers and sisters before me be strengthened, equipped, edified, nourished, formed more into the image of Jesus Christ. That tonight would be a night of conversion, that tonight would be a night of humility, unity, and maturity. That we would understand the glory of your purpose and your purpose is for your glory, and that we'd be satisfied in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Genesis 27 and Genesis 28. Before we look at that, it's been a few weeks on Sunday nights when we've been walking through Genesis. So I want to catch us up to the scenario, to the narrative that is before us tonight. Would you turn to Genesis 25? Genesis 25, and I want us to see verses 19 through 34. Here we have Isaac, and we have his wife Rebekah, and they pray to the Lord for the seed and the offspring. It's very interesting that in this narrative, the very thing that God promises are the very thing that is the very thing they struggle with. He promises an offspring and a seed to Abraham, and Sarah is what? barren. He promises the offspring and seed to Abraham and Isaac and his descendants, and Isaac and Rebekah, and now Rebekah can't conceive. The very promises that God gives them are the very things that they are struggling with and wrestling with regards to God confirming His promises. Chapter 25, verse 19, these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham fathered Isaac, so here's the line. Isaac was 40 when he took Rebekah. Verse 21, Isaac prays to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. So there's the issue at hand. She is barren, yet God has made glorious, gracious promises to this family that they would, that their offspring would be a blessing to all the families of the earth. And just as Sarah was barren, yet by the mercy and grace of God she conceived, now Rebekah is barren, but Isaac prays for his wife. And the Lord granted his prayer. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. So praise the Lord. They have an offspring now. The children struggled together within Rebekah. And she said, if it is thus, what's happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, Rebekah, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. So how many babies are in the womb? Two. We've got twins in there, okay? Side note, I remember teaching this when we found out we were having twins. It was the strangest thing in the world. We found out, and then I'm teaching this at White Creek with the twins and everything. So, side note, shoot that rabbit, get back on track now. Verse 24, when her days to give birth were completed, behold, there were twins in her womb. First came out red, all of his body like a hairy cloak, and they called him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel, so his name was Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. Very important here, 28. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of Esau's game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Do you see the problem from the beginning? The daddy loves Esau. He's the hairy hunter, and he gets to enjoy the game. He gets to enjoy the good food. Jacob's a quiet man, and Rebekah, his mom, loves him. Verse 29. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field. He was exhausted. So he's been hunting. He's exhausted. He's weary, tired, even unto death, it seems like. Verse 30. Esau says to Jacob, let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted. Therefore, his name was called Edom. So it's this kind of nickname, if you will, red. Jacob said, well, sell me your birthright now. Esau said, I'm about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me? Jacob said, swear to me now. So Esau swore to him, Jacob, and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew. He ate and drank and rose and went his way. Then Esau despised his birthright. So here's how it's unfolding. We've got a family with covenant promises in grace that God has given them. And God has specifically said, there are two people, two nations in your womb. The older shall serve the younger. God was very clear on that. But what we also see is Rebekah is loving one and Esau is loving the other. We see that there's trickery all throughout the story. At the very birthright, as the firstborn Esau possessed, he foolishly, just kind of lighthearted, gave it away for a meal. This was a very important thing in the family life. And he just throws it away, squanders it away on stew. And then he despises his birthright. Now let's fast forward to chapter 27. Chapter 27. Up to this point, God has confirmed the promise to Isaac. So all of the promises that he made to Abraham, he has now passed down and given and confirmed and spoken those to Isaac. You see that in chapter 26, verses 1 through 5, verses 23 through 25. God is confirming the promises made to Abraham, passing that through Isaac, and now the blessing and the covenant promises have to continue in one of the sons, Jacob or Esau. Let's see how this plays out. Chapter 27, verse 1. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son," and he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I'm old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver, your bow. Go out to the field, hunt game for me. Prepare for me delicious food, such as I love. And bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game, prepare me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock, bring me two good young goats so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man and I'm a smooth man." Meaning, "Mom, this is never going to work. We don't look alike. We don't smell alike. We're different in every way, Mom. There's no way this is going to work. I'm smooth. He's hairy." Verse 12. "Perhaps my father will feel and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." And his mother said, "Let your curse be upon me, my son. Only obey my voice and go bring them to me." So everybody is scheming and deceiving here. We just need to say that from the beginning. Everybody is deceiving and scheming. Rachel and Jacob and Isaac and Esau. God had given a word. The older shall serve the younger. The promise will continue. But it seems that Isaac is bent on giving the blessing to Esau, even though God has said that Jacob the younger shall receive the blessing. You've got Rebekah overhearing, and now she's scheming and plotting and prodding her son along to have this great trickery and cheating and deception to receive the blessing at any cost. Verse 14. So he, Jacob, went and took the goats and brought them to his mother, and his mother prepared delicious food such as his father loved. And then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and she put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So this is definitely premeditated. I mean, they are plotting to the point of, we've got to fix the meal and we're going to take the hair. We're going to put the hair on your hands. We're going to put the hair of the goat on your neck. And I'm going to go get Esau's change of clothes and put it on you so that you will smell like him and feel like him. And I'm going to put the meal in your hands for you to walk in there. He can't see. There's no way he'll find out. Verse 18, so he went into his father, and he said, "My father," Isaac says, "here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn." It's a flat-out lie. Jacob says to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I've done what you told me. Now sit up, eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac says to his son, "How is it that you have found it, the game? How is it that you found it so quickly, my son?" And he answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." So he's bringing God into the lie. Verse 21, then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He didn't recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near to him. He ate. He brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near, kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed his father, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments. Remember, he's wearing Esau's clothes. He smells the smell of his garments, and he blessed him and said, here's the blessing, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you. Let nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." So the blessing is given. The blessing is given. Verse 30, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food, brought it to his father, and he said to his father, "Let my father arise, eat of your son's game that you may bless me." And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, "Well, I'm your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it all before you came, and I blessed him, yes, and he shall be blessed." As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau says, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now he's taken away my blessing. Have you not reserved the blessing for me, father?" Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I made him lord over you, his brothers and all of his brothers, and I've given to him servants and grain and wine. I've sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me, oh my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live. You shall serve your brother. When you grow restless, you'll break off his yoke from your neck." And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau says to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching, and then I will kill my brother Jacob." But the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she goes and calls Jacob, her younger son, and says to him, "Behold, your brother Esau comforts himself about planning to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to Laban, my brother in Haran. Stay with him a while until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I'll send and bring you up from there. Why should I be bereft of both of you in one day?" Then Rebekah says to Isaac, "I loathe my life. I hate my life because of the Hittite women. If Jacob marries one of these Hittite women, one of the women of the land, what good will my life be?" We've got a lot going on in this chapter. We need to see that everyone in the story is deceiving and scheming. Everybody. Everybody is deceiving. Everybody is scheming. Isaac and Esau have their plot and their plan to bring the blessing at all cost. Rebekah and Jacob have their plot and scheme to bring the blessing at all cost. No one in the story deserves the blessing of God. Okay? Everybody's deceiving, everybody is disobedient, everybody is scheming, and no one deserves the blessing of God in this story. Can we agree with that? Nobody deserves it. And what's going on with Isaac? Isaac is blinded by favoritism. He's blinded by favoritism, and he's blinded by his flesh. It's very clear from the story that Isaac's favorite is Esau. So he has a favorite of the boys, and he is blinded by favoritism. But he's not only blinded by favoritism, he's blinded by his flesh. You see in verse 4, verse 9, and verse 14, the lust of Isaac's flesh. What does he want? Delicious food that I love, delicious food that I love, delicious food that I love. It's repeated three times. He wants it, and Rebekah knows how to cook and fix it the way that he delights in it. He is blinded by his favoritism. He's blinded by his flesh, which means he's blinded by his belly and the things of the world. He is failing to lead his family according to the promise of God that the older shall serve the younger. He's dropping the ball, Isaac is. Nevertheless, God's purpose in mercy and grace is to bless this elect seed that he has chosen, and that his purpose would not be thwarted. It would not be derailed, even by Isaac's sin, Esau's sin, Rebekah's sin, and Jacob's sin. God's purpose in mercy and grace, his choice of election to bring forth the promise of the Messiah, these purposes would not be thwarted, they would not be derailed. Now, throughout the chapter, we have this term repeated, bless and blessing. 17 times the word bless is used in that chapter. And then blessing, the noun form, is 6 times in the chapter. Over 20 times blessing and blessed. Or bless and blessing. So you get the idea that this is massively important and everybody is after it. And what happens in the family is favoritism fractures the family. It fractures it. Rebekah loves Jacob. Isaac loves Esau. You even have in verses 5 and 6 particular language. Rebekah was listening to Isaac. Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau." I mean, this is favoritism all the way down the line. Jacob is hers. Esau is his. All the way down, there is this fracturing in the family, this breaking up because of favoritism. And there is a lesson for all of us here. It's a deep, deep lesson. The patriarchs never really learned that lesson. The next generation, Jacob, when he has, when the 12 tribes of Israel come, when he's got his boys, he picks a favorite. Joseph is his favorite and gives him a coat so that everybody knows it. I mean, this is a lesson not learned. And this family is very, very fractured due to the sin of favoritism. We also see in verse 11 and 12 that there is a fear of getting caught, but not a fear of doing wrong. There's a big difference in that. There's the fear of getting caught, but we have no mention of fearing doing wrong. Verse 11 and 12, Jacob says to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau's hairy, I'm smooth. Perhaps my father will feel." He'll feel, and then he'll catch on that I'm mocking him. He'll bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. He's not concerned about deceiving and being wrong. He just doesn't want to get caught. He doesn't want the curse to come back on him. He doesn't want daddy to figure out their plot. Now, children and adult, listen, there is a big, big difference. A big difference between fearing getting caught and fearing doing wrong before God. And that makes all the difference in the world with repentance. We don't repent of sin because we get caught or that we feel bad that we got caught. We repent of our sin because it's wrong against God. That's why we repent. Whether you get caught or not for your sin, we repent before the living God who sees everything. And when we sin against God, it is wrong, and we are convicted of wronging Him. That's the difference with repentance, with sin, with the fear of getting caught, and the fear of doing wrong. Verse 20, we have the lie and the cheating reaching a whole other level when he brings God's name into it. He is so bold in the sin and in the lie that this is a form of blasphemy. They've got their plan in deceiving in their lie, and then daddy says, "Well, how in the world did you get a kill so quick?" Jacob says, "Oh, daddy, the Lord was with me." You mean to tell me that the Lord was with you, blessing you to lie to daddy? I don't think that's how it works. But also interesting in that, he not only says God was blessing my lie, he is bold to assert that God is blessing the lie. And he's so bold, but he doesn't call God his God. The language he uses there is the God of my father. Isaac says to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." You see, Jacob isn't owning that the Lord is his God yet. He says, "The Lord your God was with me, Dad." He's bold in his sin and lie. Now, brothers and sisters, listen to me. It is a terribly dangerous thing when you can just be flat out bold in your sin against God. It is dangerous. Dangerous. And when we see people bold in their lying and sin, we've got to snatch them back. It's dangerous. So very dangerous. And he is so very bold in his sin and in his rebellion. We've got the blessing at 28 and 29. He blesses him with prosperity and royalty. Not bad. Just be honest. Would you take it? Prosperity and royalty is the blessing he's passing down to his boy.
Now we see why they were fighting about it so much, right? They understood that God has promised glorious things, and they want it at all cost. And the blessing is prosperity and royalty. There'll be a productive land, a fertile land. There'll be dominion over the enemies. Curse upon those who curse, blessing upon those who bless. Goes back to Abraham, that language there. Now, Esau's pretty ticked. He's very upset at his brother and what's taking place. But we see in verse 33 something interesting that takes place. Isaac trembled very violently when all this is figured out. Isaac trembles very violently and says, "Well, who was it then that hunted the game and brought it to me? I ate it. I ate it all before you came, and I blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed." So the question is, why are they so dead set on it? Like, is the father's blessing irrevocable? Can you just not take it back? This is a human. We don't have infallible words, do we? Is the father's blessing irrevocable? Some would say it appears so. It's like they both know deep, deep, deep down that ship sailed. It's like they both know it, right? But it may not be so much as the father's blessing being irrevocable as it could be that Isaac perhaps realizes that God's purpose and God's word cannot be thwarted. What's done is done. What's done is done. Maybe he realizes, okay, God said it's Jacob, and boy, it certainly appears to be Jacob. So either or, we're not really sure if this blessing is irrevocable with regards to the father. Some say yes, or perhaps Isaac just realizes God has spoken, God's purpose will prevail despite our efforts. Verse 35, you see a description of Jacob here. "Your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing." Some translations read, "He came with subtlety." Now, does that remind you of any person in Scripture? Crafty, subtle, maybe the serpent in the garden. That's how they're describing old Jacob. And then you got this wordplay in 36. "Is he not rightly named Jacob, for he cheated me these two times?" So it's like, that Jacob Jacobed me. His name means deceiver or cheat. So that cheater cheated me. That deceiver deceived me. Jacob Jacobed me. He's living up to his name. He is a cheater and he is a deceiver. The cheat and the deceiver appears to be winning here. Verse 42 and 45, the blessing is received. There's going to be a high price here. He's going to be gone away. Perhaps doesn't see his mother anymore. The last thing we know of Rebekah, the last words that she speaks before she's mentioned again with her tomb, when she dies, the last thing that we see her doing is manipulating in verse 46. It's the last thing we know of her. Manipulating to the end. Giving a story about these Hittite women and stuff. She just didn't want her son to die and wanted him to be safe with her family. So she manipulates to the end, we see. Her last words are not good ones. So what do we see from the chapter? We see that God is sovereign over sin. God is sovereign over sin. God does not command sin, and God does not cause sin. Nevertheless, He is sovereign over it. He does determine to use sin for his purposes, though he's not the author or cause of it. So we should never manipulate to gain blessing. We should simply trust in the sovereignty of God. For God will bring blessing in His time, in His way, by His means, in His purposes, and His glory. Now, can we all agree that at this point, Jacob does not get what he deserves? This is a cheating, deceiving, conniving guy. And what does he get? Mercy and blessing. Like, he's not better than Esau at all. It's not that Jacob is better than Esau, so Jacob gets the blessing. What we see from Jacob in the story is that he is a cheat. And he's living up to his name as a cheater. That he is the deceiver who goes about deceiving. That he was grabbing the heel at the beginning, and now he's still grabbing the heel at whatever cost. He's not better in any kind of way, and he does not get what he deserves. He receives mercy. He receives mercy. Why does he receive mercy and Esau doesn't? He's not any better, right? No, he's not. He's not any better. Isaac, Rebekah, Esau, Jacob. They're all scheming and deceiving. They're all sinners. So why does Jacob receive mercy and Esau doesn't? Why does Jacob receive the blessing and Esau doesn't? I mean, that's a tough one, right? Does the Bible speak to that? Well, the Bible does speak to it. And we have some commentary in Romans. If you would, turn there to Romans chapter 9. Paul gives some commentary on the very story that we've been looking at. Jacob deserves judgment. Jacob deserves punishment. Jacob deserves to be treated like Esau because he's as bad as Esau. Jacob is the cheater. Jacob is the deceiver. Why in the world is he picked over Esau then? The answer in one word is mercy. Romans chapter 9, verse 10 through 16. Here's the commentary to answer the question. Why Jacob and not Esau? Chapter 9, verse 10. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, so there's our crew, though they, the children in her womb, though they were not yet born and had done nothing either good or bad, they haven't done anything good or bad to merit anything, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of Him who calls. She was told, Rebekah, the older will serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? Meaning, that's not fair. I object. That's not fair. You can't just pick one. If they both don't deserve it, if they haven't done good or bad, you can't just pick one. It's not fair. Verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? So in a way, we have to sense that. Well, like, yeah, it kind of doesn't seem fair that he loved Jacob and hated Esau, and Jacob was just as sorry as Esau, but he gets mercy and he gets the blessing. That doesn't seem fair. Verse 14, is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, here's the answer, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then, it depends. It depends not on human will or of the one who wills or runs, but it depends on God who has mercy. Why was Jacob picked if he was just as sorry as Esau? And the only answer, biblically speaking, that we can give is this. God says, I have mercy on whom I have mercy. I have compassion on whom I have compassion. Everybody deserves judgment as law-breaking sinners. And God has mercy on whom He has mercy. Jacob and Esau are equally sinful, but God has mercy on whom He will have mercy. So that Jacob can't boast that he's better than Esau, he can only say, I've received mercy. Jacob can't say, I'm a better sinner than Esau. I'm better in some kind of way. He can only say, I am a recipient of mercy. Mercy. I want to share the words to a hymn with you tonight that drive home this point. It's a hymn called A Debtor to Mercy, and it's written by Augustus Toplady. Listen to these words. A debtor to mercy alone, of covenant mercy I sing. I come with your righteousness on, my humble offering to bring. The judgments of your holy law with me can have nothing to do. My Savior's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view. The work which your goodness began, the arm of your strength will complete. Your promise is yes and amen, and never was forfeited yet. The future or things that are now, no power below or above can make you your purpose forego or sever my soul from your love. My name from the palms of your hands, eternity will not erase. Impressed on your heart, it remains, and marks of indelible grace. Yes, I to the end will endure, until I bow down at your throne, forever and always secure, a debtor to mercy alone. The only way we make sense of this story and the only way we make sense with our salvation is to understand that in and of ourselves we are not better than anyone at any time, and that we are just beggars and debtors to the mercy and the grace of God. So the question tonight is this. Have you received that mercy? Are you a recipient of the mercy and grace of God? Paul would say of his life, I'm the chief of sinners. Our only boast tonight is that God is a God of mercy and God is a God of grace. And His plans will not be thwarted. We're not going to be able to get into 28. But I just want you, to savor not only what God did in that deceiving cheat's life, who did not deserve anything good from God, but God in His mercy gave it so that the promise might continue that would point us to Christ. But that we understand that we with Jacob and with this song, we praise God for His mercy that He's given to us. We praise Him for His mercy. Let's pray. Lord, for Your grace and Your mercy, we are grateful and thankful. We acknowledge that we are completely undeserving of anything good You would give. And it may strike us as very surprising that You would bless such a wicked man. He seems so bad and so wicked, but You brought blessing to him for Your glory and Your purposes. And we are no better. We are no better. Any blessing we taste, any blessing we receive, is a testimony to Your great mercy, Father of mercies. So bless us tonight as we pray, as we reflect, as we sing in close. Amen. We're going to have an invitation response song tonight that will be for your praise and rejoicing in the Lord, or time of prayer and thanksgiving, whatever it be. I'll gladly receive anyone who would need to talk or pray concerning any matter. Would you stand tonight and let's sing together?
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer.